Hello everyone. I just want to ask you a question. Have you ever had one of those days when you've really struggled? You've wondered which way to turn, what to do, what should you get involved in, or what direction you should take? And those questions and quandaries have made you struggle all day and you couldn't decide and you couldn't determine what you should get into. That's a wee bit of, like what I felt for with this next message. However, I do believe that I should bring this little text to you. It's a very similar scene where the disciples really don't know what to do. They don't know what way to turn. They don't know what life has for them, in store for them after this particular event. And the event that I'm speaking about is in John chapter 14 and the verses 1 to 6. And I want to read them to you. Here's what they said. Here's what Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We can see by this interaction, this communication that Jesus had with the disciples, that they were really questioning quite a lot of things in their hearts and in their minds. The little text that I want to try and tease out for you to encourage you in your walk, especially in this day in which we find ourselves, is found in the verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believe this is one of those texts which is a universal text. It's an all-encompassing text. We can use it in the subject of prayer. We can use it in the subject of sorrowing and suffering. We can use it in the subject of searching. And I believe that's what's going on in the disciples' hearts at this particular time. Now they have asked him one or two questions as to what he's just previously said in the previous chapter. He says he's going to be betrayed and he's going to be denied. And the consequence of that betrayal and the denial is he's going to be taken from them, crucified, and he's going to be put to death. But Jesus' answer to their so-called questions gives rise to what was really going on in their hearts. And he knew of more that was going on in their hearts than they were willing to admit. I believe right in the very first verse he identifies that they were troubled. He said, let not your heart be troubled. That word troubled means disturbed, anxious, they were annoyed, upset, they were confused and fearful. As far as they were concerned, everything that they had come to learn over the last 3.5 years where Jesus was with them was up in the air. Their plans, their vision, their outlook, their direction, everything was up in the air and everything was about to change. And they weren't handling it very well. I think we can identify with that, can't we? Everything's up in the air. We really don't know. And the more we hear from the direction and advice that we get from the authorities, the more confused we become because no one's sounding from the same hymn sheet. Well, as I look at this little text, I'm going to try and tease out just three very simple things for us so that we can maybe take something away from this particular text where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That gives us a little bit of insight. Not only were they concerned about the future, because they were worried about where they were going to be. My Father's house are many mansions. And so there was almost as if there was question marks over whether they could really believe everything that Jesus said. He says, believe me, believe also. If you believe the Father, believe also in me. So here are the three things which I believe were in their hearts. And I believe that we could be pondering these issues as well. They're very, very simple. But let me give them to you because I believe the Lord would have you think about them anyway. They were worried about their direction. I am the way. They were wondering, well, where are we going to go from here? What are we going to do? They were worried about their direction. Jesus says, I am the way. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, remember what he said earlier when he spoke to them? He says, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. He's really saying that they are to continue to follow him. And even if following him brought them to persecution, trial and trouble, if to bring them into difficulty, then they were to continue to follow him. Following Jesus is a dangerous business. And if it's not a dangerous business, it can be a difficult business. Because the world is no friend of grace. We will be ostracized, we will be persecuted, we'll be scorned, we'll be mocked, we'll be marginalized. They've done that with God's people down through the ages. Jesus said, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. What does it mean to be cross-bearing? To bear the shame and reproach of the name of Jesus. Jesus knew that this world was no friend of grace. And this world was never going to encourage the people of God. And therefore we should not look to the world to be encouraged or supported. We shouldn't think that somehow when we've been persecuted that the world's going to send in the army to deliver us. Because this world is no friend of grace. But I thank the Lord that he commands his angels to charge over them who shall be heirs of salvation. I want to suggest to you, dear friend, that the Christian life is a life of suffering, it's a life of discomfort, it's a life of submission, and it's a life of surrender. And you see, when we get there, when we get into that situation, whatever happens to us, whatever troubles us, whatever trials we face, well, as Paul says, he's happy to share the sufferings of Christ. So they were worried about their direction, where this was all going to lead them. Where they were going to stand in relation to his going away. He says, I am the way. But not only, by the way, they were to follow his example. His example. And we know what his example was. He did good to those that despised him. He healed the sick. He brought comfort and release to those that were suffering. Follow him. They were worried about their direction. Secondly, they were worried about their discernment. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. And what was the next one? I am the truth. You know, Jesus had prepared them well, hadn't he? He said, I am telling you beforehand, and he also said somewhere else, I am showing you beforehand that when it does happen, you'll remember that I told you of his coming. Folk, is there anything more daunting? Now, think about it. Is there, when you put yourself in the disciples' feet, could there be anything more daunting than stepping out under the shelter of the wings of your supporter or a comforter or a guide or someone who's discipling you? And you have to stand on your own two feet. It's like the young married couple who, the first day they wake up, a married couple, they realise that we are responsible now for our own lives. Could there be anything more daunting than stepping out into the future, an unknown future, an unpredictable future? When Jesus said, I am the truth. The things that I have promised, the things that I have predicted, the things that I have said, will come true. And here's the thing, anything or anyone that tries to lead you or tries to teach you things that contradict what I've already said, then take no notice of it. That's how you know when you're going the right way. When the direction you're taking or the instruction that you're getting does not conflict with what he says in his word, then you can determine it to be a safe way, a safe direction, and a safe place for you to travel. They were concerned about their discernment. He says, not one jot, not one tittle will fall to the ground. And the warning is given in the book of the Revelation, if anyone alters the word, he says, then I will rub their name out of the book of life. We can take him at his word. He has prophesied, he has promised, he has predicted. And he says, no matter what the enemy tells you today, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he also says, I go before you. And we can confidently follow him because he has gone before. They were worried about their direction. They were worried about their discernment. Ye shall know the truth, he said, and the truth will set you free. I will send you the Comforter, who will teach you, he will instruct you, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You'll not need to wonder about what to say, because the Holy Spirit will put it in your mouth. They were worried about discernment. The last little thing. They were worried about devotion. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you want to know what to live for Jesus. I am the life. If you want to know what to have priority in your life, well, have Jesus as priority in your life. He says, I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you want to, if you're worried or concerned about your worth and your worthiness, he says, I am your life. His life in us, and us in him. Christ in me, says Paul, the hope of glory. And the enemies and the scoffers and the mockers and the persecutors and the heathen and the ungodly will cast and castigate you and cast all manner of accusations against you. But our worth and our life is all hid in Christ. My life is hid in Christ, in God, says the scriptures. So if you're worrying about devotion, devote your life to him. I remember the words of a famous missionary. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it shall bring forth fruit. Our life in his life in me, will lead to a life of devotion. A lifetime of devotion. And it will bring others to serve him in devotion with of their lives for him. So you see, we may struggle, we may find it difficult, but that only tells us that the battle is not over, we're not home yet. And I love this interaction with the Lord Jesus and the disciples, and I'm thankful that they were struggling, because we are able to learn from their struggles by what Jesus said. Let not your heart be over anxious. Let them not be disturbed. Let them not be fearful. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about where you're going. Where you're going is far better than here. In my Father's house are many mansions. And you wonder how to get there. Well, the way to comfort and assurance here on earth right now is in fellowship with the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But the way to that eternal life is, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. May God bless these thoughts to your heart. May they bring encouragement and inspiration as you ponder his guidance and as you struggle with the days in which we find ourselves, because life can be a bit of a struggle as we think about the life and its changes, dramatic changes that are inflicted upon us in these days. Let's pray. Father, I pray that your word will find a resting place in our hearts and bring encouragement and direction and assurance to everyone that hears these words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.